May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 942. 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense. I to thy mercy seek repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. Hymn 942.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Gospel according to St. John from chapter 3. The Gospel according to St. John from chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. But John was not yet cast into prison, Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Jesus answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. The Lord help us now in prayer. Lord, we do seek thy mercy, and then we need grace to help in time of need once more. We find it to be so. Lord, it's our sin and unworthiness that only as thou dost teach us rises up with such a trouble. Oh, do grant us the forgiveness of sins, and for that we look to the Lord Jesus alone. We would plead his precious name and blood and righteousness. Grant the divine help of the Holy Spirit. We pray that thou be with us on this beautiful morning. May it be the more beautiful at the feet of him that publisheth peace. May the Lord come into our midst, into our hearts, and remember each one. We pray that thou be with any that are poorly and sick. Indeed, we remember those unable to be here, but so much in our thoughts, and the children, little one, but remember them all. We lovingly bring them unto Jesus safely. We need thy help, Lord, to bring these little ones unto Jesus. Pray for that strength and development may be granted, but also thou bless them and make them a blessing. We pray that thou remember those that have lost loved ones. We pray for that supporting help of God, a sufficiency indeed, day by day. We know something of it. We pray that thou be pleased nevertheless to grant the return of that help of God under all thy sovereignty. And yet there is love in it all. We pray, Lord, that thou bless this house of prayer and the church of Christ. That the desire of our heart, Lord, is that thou bless each one and bring back prodigals. And remember any, Lord, that are especially cast down. Any that can by no means lift up themselves with one of old. Any, Lord, that may feel to be left out. Hear the prayer, Gona. Remember those, Lord, that need thee so much. Any, Lord, that are oppressed and tormented and under that condemnation, that thou canst grant the fullness of the blessing. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou help us to thank thee for every returning mercy, the privileges we have, that we can come and go, and that we are not let or hindered outwardly. But Lord, we pray that thou hear us for those that are oppressed, so much in our thoughts together. Remember those, Lord, that are in Ukraine and other places, that truly, as we understand, fear thy name. Lord, to put thy hook in the nose of one that is so oppressive, until thou dost turn him round, and then the people will be turned round as well. We want to ask thee, Lord, rightly, that thou art appear and remember the oppressed. We think of the refugees too. And pray that thou hear us in our united desires. May God appear. Over our own land, turn unto us. Have mercy. Hear us, Lord, for wisdom to be granted and grace to be known. Lord, we need it ourselves. Oh, how much we need thee. Here, Lord, where thy name is faithfully recorded this day, the precious truths of the everlasting gospel. Lord, it's the truth of the everlasting love of God, sweetly known in sinners' hearts. By the gospel, the word is preached unto you. We desire, Lord, to record thus thy mercies with a little sweetness of softness. What hath God wrought? We desire to thank thee. Pray that thou hear us now, Lord, as we plead that mercy and help and grace to be sweetly known. Lord, we do need that grace so much. We feel to be very low so often, but we read thy grace is sufficient. May we sweetly prove it. May we know it from the well of Bethlehem. My grace is sufficient for thee, but we have to come to the well. We ask that thou remember the deacons and do hear their cries and remember us in every burden and care. We desire that thou attend to our inmost thoughts as well as those unexpressed. Oh, the burdens there are, concerns too that keep us sometimes awake. Lord, do hear us thus. We plead that thou be remembering us, Lord, with thy favour. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray for the Spirit's most vital, gracious influence and power poured upon us, and thus we may worship thee aright. We ask that thou come now, Lord, in our few petitions perhaps, but exceed them from heaven. Grant answers of peace, but Lord, do richly forgive our sin and unbelief, and it's all our unworthiness. We ask all for Christ's sake. Amen.
In 894. 894. The Saviour empties whom he fills and quickens whom he slays. Our legal hope he kindly kills to teach us gospel praise. Hymn 894.
By the Lord's help, we direct you to the Gospel according to St. John and chapter 3. I feel directed to verses 29 and especially verse 30. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 29 and 30. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled, the words of John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. His words are impressed in my mind with much felt sense of insufficiency. But these words that belong to all of us in one sense, for heaven, he must increase, that I must decrease. In one sense, they are worthy to be heard and considered. But there is a spiritual application. Indeed, that was what the forerunner came for, the witness unto the coming. The dear Redeemer, heavenly bridegroom. And I think it to be worthy of notice that this forerunner was for the completeness of the old dispensation and the consideration of the revelation of God in those years past. And then, friends, oh, to get a little sweet glimpse and not, of this heavenly forerunner. That's what the Lord's people need. They need the truth in all its display. Oh, but I need the Lord to be the forerunner. And we read in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, don't we, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Now that's what we want to find. By God's help, we read these words again, but I want to come to something on my mind. He must increase, but I must decrease. And friends, then it's the friend or friends of the bridegroom. That's the way into it. I didn't know how to quite think to preach in these words. We're dependent upon the Lord. And then reading the words here, there's something very precious. Well, the sweet witness of John the Baptist in all the glory of the preaching of the coming of one so worthy that he felt to be less and less. He must increase, but I must decrease. And it's this witness, if I might say, that I believe was in his heart. Friends, he would soon have to leave this world. He knew the bridegroom. That's what he's speaking of. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. Now I believe he got the sweet comfort of God in his heart. What a forerunner in many, many respects. But it needed a greater one. And he said he must increase, but I must decrease, to bring in this everlasting righteousness. To be faithful in the proclamation of the sweet coming of the Lord Jesus. What a man. And how we would notice the grace given. We want to come especially to these thoughts here. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Something very precious about these few words here. May God grant us some sweetness in them. The words perhaps are especially known, aren't they, to God's people. He must increase, but I must decrease. Think of the words here regarding the word of the Lord. Now, friends, if God has done anything for us, and I do hope it may be so, sweetly known to be so, these words will have an application. more than I can ever try to speak of. I want to notice them in these words of the Lord, he must increase. The words of John the Baptist. And what about our hearts, friends? Do we have to say, ah, it is so? Oh, to know a little of the increase of God by his sweet spirit. And then it's the way in which we might understand these words. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. So we have something precious here about the bridegroom. And then the friend of the bridegroom. Oh, what a sweetness there is. If I might be able to come to the word here. Well, he said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And again, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. We might be able to consider it the possession of the bridegroom is his people. So wonderfully made known. He that hath the bride is a bridegroom. And then, as God may help me to know a little of the sweet truth that is displayed here. And I believe we might be able to understand these words the more precious way if we might find a little of these friends of the bridegroom. That's it, isn't it? Oh, the Lord grant us some sweet knowledge of what these words make known. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. Now, that's what's on my mind, friends. To find some of these friends of the bridegroom. Now, how do we understand it? Well, I believe they are such as are loved eternally. And then further, it seems that there's something here I must try to come to. It's especially contained in these words. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, friends, the Lord only can say such solemn and sacred things for the benefit of his dear people, for the establishing, strengthening and blessing of poor sinners. Now, I believe, as God may help me in a few moments, the friends of the bridegroom belong to God eternally. The wonders of redeeming love. Oh, what a great matter it is to begin to speak here from these words, especially must increase, but I must decrease. No, it does seem I must dwell here, as God may help me. Friends, the Lord appointed the friend of the bridegroom. These ones that we might be able to notice a place in the covenant of his grace. Look closer. Friends, such a matter to try to speak from. It's the way in which these characters, these poor sinners, we could really speak much of their demerits, couldn't we? But these friends of the bridegroom, that's the way into the text, as I say. Now, John is speaking from his heart. Really, it's in the forerunner, isn't he? The sweetest truth of the gospel. Very sweetly do we notice in the words here that the Lord may grant us some sweet access into the way of the heavenly bridegroom here. A little further, It does seem that we must notice, so lost, so ruined, so completely cast out of God's presence, so defiled by sin. Oh, the greatness of it. Oh, and if we know anything, friends, we shall have to bow under the sense of utter defilement. And it's the demerit, isn't it, we find in our hearts, you that seek the Lord, that fear his frown, you that wonder if there can be a place in the kingdom of God for such as cannot begin to believe. Friends, what will God say about it? Well, the forerunner says plenty. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Oh, the heavenly nature of it. Friends, this character, these people that they haven't got a good word to say for themselves, and not a good thought either. Well, friends, so bad they are and ruined. The work is only fit for Christ to redeem these awful characters. And he's right in our text. He must increase. For those that wonder if ever their names can be found or recorded in the book of life. Now, friends, without God's delivering grace, we remain where the law finds us, guilty. No help. No prayer without the Lord himself savingly anyway. Now, friends, it's such a precious... The dear man of God, the forerunner, he speaks of it. How much more does Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, speak of it? This people, given by such heavenly transactions, before sin entered into the world, a people given sweetly unto his own dear beloved Son, the heavenly bridegroom. And what for? That they should be loved. Not because they love him first. But the matter is one of sovereign grace. That's how it appears to me and come into our text. Friends, the matter of it is this. It's what the bridegroom will say, isn't it? When we go to a wedding, there's a particular hush, isn't there? When the bridegroom has to speak, there's import with it. There's something that's to be said. How much more when the Lord speaks? And that's what these poor characters do need. The voice of God to help them, even one appointed so to do, but they want to hear his voice. And that's where I come. Friends, so bad, so ruined, but they are given unto the bridegroom to do as he will with them. Ah, friends, he's full of goodness. John the Baptist is speaking of it. He must increase, that I must decrease. He had a little... What a man he was. And yet he must soon leave this world. But oh, I believe with all my heart, friends, God was with him right until he left this world. I believe the heavenly bridegroom was with him. That's what he's speaking of. What he'd handled, tasted and felt in the old dispensation. How much was he looking unto the coming of the great forerunner? So that the words take it up, friends, more than I can. He must increase. All his holy will, he must increase, but I must decrease. Think about it. I'm speaking carefully. Friends, the extent of the man's love and desire and willingness to speak of this bridegroom, that's the one God has appointed. But his bride are the most ruined and ugly, deformed, and also, and if God teaches you it, you'll know about it, so opposed to the bridegroom that they say, we'll not have this man to reign over us. But, friends, it's what God will do. And that's what the dear man came in the fullness of, isn't it? In the words of our text especially, that out of such a sweet increase there might be that help and indeed salvation, but it's the forgiveness. I think of it sometimes like this in my poor simplicity, friends. A bride so ugly and deformed by sin, and yet loved by love divine. And that's grace, isn't it? Now, where is it? Well, it's in the ministry that the forerunner brings. How much more do we read of it concerning Jesus Christ? Oh, the wonder of it, friends, that the Lord gave with such an encouragement to seek hard after the coming of the Lord. How much more in the gospel dispensation? Now, friends, it's one of grace, isn't it? And if you and I are called by grace, it'll be all of grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want to say something, friends. It may be interesting so far. I had a person say to me that I was much better because I was a good man. And I was saying to a friend, he goes to the church up the road, lives near us. I told him that because I've got a little report with him, we can speak freely. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He said, well, that's not good, is it? He said to me, he goes to the church up there. Now, friends, that's refreshing, isn't it? He knew. Something, I believe, of the truth. Now, God grant him and us more of the increase of our text. He must increase. I must decrease. I don't know if it might be right to add, somebody else said that you put yourself down too much. I didn't have any union to speak about it, friends, because it's like opposite, isn't it? We would be putting our nails in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. If so be that God may look upon us. Now that's the effect of grace. And it's in the heavenly bridegroom that my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. But I don't want to speak out of proper manner, but it does come practically, doesn't it? In life's journey, when the Lord touches your heart, it's this. He must increase and I must decrease. It's the whole matter of being born again by God's rich grace. We have the account of it. Even the Lord himself speaks of it. Ye must be born again. And the forerunner was so sweetly able to speak of it a little further here, wasn't he? In the word, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. Well, friends, these are loved, although they're so unworthy and so wretched. And yet, it's the drawing to the heavenly bridegroom. One that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Oh, do you begin to believe it? So I'll put my little request here with John the Baptist. He must increase. I must decrease. Now that's the way in which the gospel is to be preached, friends. It's lowliness of mind and heart and an increasing knowledge of sin. Oh, the defilements of it. The dreadful demerits of it. It marks us down, doesn't it? perhaps in the night, or certainly at the end of the day. Oh, woe is me, for I have sinned. The feeling of it, so unlike the people of God, so unable to retain the truth or to believe in it, but for grace divine. Well, where does it leave you? At the throne of grace. Does it not? A little short prayer, friends, will reach the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. He must increase by the Spirit, isn't it? And such are welcome to the throne of grace. Why, friends? Because of love divine. Because of the sweetness of the truth of the gospel, that God has a people and he does all for them, and he puts their unworthy name. In thy fair book of life and grace, may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. No, it's when that grace is in sweet operation, isn't it? It was so for me many years ago. I was troubled and anxious because I didn't know the law enough. I was so burdened because my whole thought was this: if only I could know, if only I could believe. But it seemed as if God shut the door, and I was brought lower every time, you know, until the Lord broke through. It says he humbled he'll humble thy proud heart. What does he bring? Troubles, afflictions, sorrows, things too hard for you. Friends, what a mercy they're not too hard for God. He has said so. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me and I will hear it. It's the voice of the bridegroom, isn't it? Why, friends, we have not commended ourselves. The apostle speaks of it. But oh, strangely, the words of God are made life in poor sinners' hearts. They're like Ruth gleaning among the sheaves. They're right glad to get a little left in the field belonging to Boaz. And those handfuls, you know, strangely, they have to go home and pray about it. I'm speaking of those that are made alive. They pray over their souls and the word, that it might be attended with power, not only for them, but for others too. And that's what we need, friends, a zeal by God's grace. That the Lord would bring in his dead elect, as the expression is, that he might bring back the prodigals. And if we're taught of God, we'll feel to be the worst. Yes, the very worst of sinners. Oh, but friends, strangely, they have to go again to the throne of grace. And their prayers sometimes are very short. He must increase. I must decrease. It's the plague. It's a dominion. I can't speak about it except it brings a dearth in a man, a child. I'm speaking of all the family of God. It brings a dearth. They can't be satisfied until God appears. How unworthy. How absolutely destitute of a good prayer and thought. But friends, somehow they have to go to God just as they are. If so be, it might be pleasing to God to remember the poorest. Many sweet hymns about it, aren't there? Oh, these characters. I would find some this morning. God grant that there might be a lifting up of these poor characters with John the Baptist. He said, firstly, he must increase. That's it, isn't it? And then, where it's true, it will also be equally such a prayer that I, this wretched I, must decrease. I believe, friends, in simple preaching, not simple manner of preaching, but it's these ones that strangely are gathered up. Just suits them. He must increase in my poor heart, my short life. He must increase. And then we have to learn it perhaps more and more. I must decrease. Oh, friends, that's the walking it out, isn't it? That's the sanctifying effect of a new birth. It's choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, but the propensity of the natural man, friends, it needs constantly to be subdued by grace. Is that how you find it? Oh, the wants 10 times over, if I can put it like that. Oh, the increasing felt sense of helplessness and guilt. God grant the application, friends, we don't speak lightly about it. It's when it's charged to the heart, to God's people, what can they do? Sometimes I feel, with the hymn, the psalmist, and if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And that's what the devil seeks to come, take away the foundations that God has laid. Friends, he can never do that. They're in the heavenly bridegroom. These characters, they're all is bound up in the Lamb, and yet they haven't got very far. They're the ones I can get on with, because they haven't got very far. We're on the way no further yet as we get older. And there's a fear that you might say, one might say more than really is possessed. It's the springing up, isn't it? And when God grants his word, friends, it must be proclaimed. John the Baptist found it. He must increase. That was the substance of his ministry, wasn't it? And also, he knew the other side with the apostle. A wretched man as I am, he must increase, that is the Lord, but I must decrease. Oh, the trouble of wayward thoughts and shameful thoughts even. Sin, friends, that rises up, and we can be at the throne of grace, and some awful blasphemous things come. Can ever God dwell here? Well, friends, it's what the Lord will do. May the Lord help us then to know what the dear man of God said here. He must yet the more increase. I must, and it shall be so, must decrease. No easy way to heaven. It's not just the first part, is it? It's this also, Lord, crucify this self. Remove this guilt and propensity and dominion. And the natural man that receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God has to be subdued, doesn't it? But it's this, isn't it? It's the fullness of the words that John the Baptist spoke about. He must increase, I must decrease. And then I want to notice it a little further. It's the way in which the dear man had to walk, wasn't it? I like the first chapter. It's all about the dear man. Next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Oh, friends, it moved his heart, that sweet person, didn't it? Much in our text, isn't it? But we notice it. He had such a sweet glimpse of the Lord Jesus, coming unto him, that's what you need. Well, friends, it's all of grace. But so it was. It was breaking out in his expression for all to hear. Here is the testimony. Would to God there might be more testimonies like this. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Friends, it's this lower world where sin abounds, isn't it? Oh, the dreadful conflicts there may be. And then he said, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man. I want to speak of this coming of this glorious man. We tried to just touch upon it, friends. It's what is given unto him by the Father for the redemption of these ones that are loved. To perfect it, to bring it most sweetly. You know, a bridegroom loves his bride, doesn't he? Oh, how much more. These characters that are so given by the Father for the fullness of his love to be displayed in their hearts and lives, it's given to Christ, isn't it? And he searches out his bride. As he does, as the shepherd searches out his sheep. They've been in a dreadful state. But he searches them out. Do you know anything of it? That's the gospel, if I could really preach it, friends. But these characters are given to the good shepherd. They have any bridegroom. But in the counsel of Jehovah, they must be found. Am I not right? Only God can find them. Lays them upon his shoulder as trophies of his grace. The most unworthy. And thus he brings them back and puts them in the fold. And he numbers them in the fold as well. And none can fall out of it. Friends, it's all what the Lord is in his sweet person, heavenly bridegroom. That's the one that John is speaking of. He must increase. I love good doctrine. I don't want to speak wrongly. But friends, it's this one that is thus appointed with love in his heart to seek and to search and find out his sheep. Oh, is it so with you? Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, the matter of it is this, that will gladden your heart, a little knowledge of him with the dear forerunner. Behold the Lamb of God, this is he who cometh before me, he said, preferred before me. Exactly the sentiment in our text. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. That's his coming, isn't it? Now, friends, when he came, they saw nothing in him. Neither did you, neither did I. It's the world, isn't it? So it was. Some early impressions, but they wear out, don't they? Without God supplying his grace. And we wouldn't be here, some of us, without the way in which the Lord deals with his sheep. He brings them back. Many sweet hymns about it. But it's this nature, this glorious person, the one that seeks them out, friends, he has them to his heart. The scriptures bear me out. Oh, so undone, they're loved by grace divine. And then the Lord shows it by the blessed spirit of truth to be belonging to the most unworthy. And they have a name. I do like that text. A name given among men. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a very precious part, isn't it? And some may say it's because there's an inference for man to do something. No, friends, must, because the Lord brings them back and he puts them where he'll have them be, in the fold, among his sheep. And the world think it strange. And our natural man may oppose the working of God's Spirit. But something rises up, and that's the awful independence of man. The rejection of God left for a moment. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with everlasting kindness have I drawn thee. Now, friends, these things belong, as the world may laugh, what do these feeble Jews? The Lord's gathering in. Would to God it might be so. Here and where his name is recorded. People say, well, I never saw it on this fashion. We'll go, perhaps together, we'll go and we'll ask him that his grace might abound, and then you may need the Lord to show you what to do. Well, friends, it's a calling, isn't it? It's a love to him. I was thinking about it in the word of his grace. And John said, he it is coming after me is not is preferred before me, his shoes latch it. I'm not worthy to unloose. Now, but it's this, if I can just get my thoughts here. It's the way in which the Lord speaks of baptism. I don't really, cannot understand those that oppose it from the scripture. To me, it's anathema, really. John the Baptist baptized, how much more did Christ baptize? Oh, friends, this sweet example. Was he not baptized of the Baptist? Or was there not the sweetest example and teaching and guidance? There's a blessing in it, isn't there? And the way into it is this, he must increase. I know so little. I am so poor. And yet my sins are so great that the Lord subdue them. But there is a following on, isn't there? I've spoken of it recently. There is a particular teaching of the Baptist. John said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending. Oh, the magnifying of this dear, blessed, heavenly bridegroom. The Spirit remaining upon him, still the same. Lord, grant it by his grace, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. That's the way into the baptizing the poor sinners. It's by the Holy Ghost. I was thinking recently in John, never mentioned it, but I will do as it comes to my mind. In the 8th chapter of the Acts, I want to come to it. It particularly attends my thoughts still. The eunuch, he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip, friends, he had a sweet leading of his God. Didn't matter about the wilderness, did it? His God was with him. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I like that. this same Jesus. And as they went on their way, he said, "See, here is water. What is hinder me to baptize? You know the account. But I wonder if you've noticed this. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the words he said, "I believe." Oh, friends, what a sweet favour he had in his heart, didn't he? It was this other man, more glorious than ever known. Even the prophet could not fulfil his longing desires. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, friends, very quickly, Philip knew he was of the Lord. And what did he do? He commanded something, that the chariot to stand still. Something had to be attended to. He had the sweetest instruction about it. These words were attended with power by the Spirit in the eunuch. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now what is it? But it's our text. "He must increase. I must decrease." And the wheels had to stop. Had to be attended to. Would to God it might be more known. That sweet obedience to the bridegroom and all his holy will. I must perhaps leave a few thoughts. But there's just one thing I want to notice in our reading. Without any desire to speak wrongly at all. In the third chapter, we read of something, don't we? There was a controversy. Needless. I'm speaking of this particular chapter where the disciples of John were speaking about the manner of washings and so on. We need to be very careful. We don't put things in front of the Lord's word and his example too. There arose a question. Still do, don't they? Of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said, "Rabbi, he that was with thee," in verse 26, John 3, "to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." I like that. You're still coming to him. But in the words of our text, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." And then we come to the words, especially in our text. "Ye yourselves bear me witness," said, "I'm not the Christ. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." And again, it says, "He greatly rejoiceth because of the bridegroom's voice." The Lord grants it. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Friends, that be our lot and portion here. Seek much more earnestly the increase of his kingdom and to serve him by grace divine. And to take up the cross, whatever it may be, and follow him. I must leave a few things this morning. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school's at Bethany at 2:30. Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And Mr. Charles Woolboys is expected to preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And he also hopes to address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 593. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls of here a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour, and his mercy knows no end. O ye helpless, come and on his grace depend. 593.
Thank you.
And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.